you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you on Herb Talk. That's what we like to do. Magical engineer Frank and I, ready to roll. Thanks for joining us on the American Radio Network. We are going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, the math and the drug success clinical trials seem not to match up. So we're going to check out the math versus the drugs. And also we're going to be talking about signs of stress. Of course, you probably know what they are and how you can, alleviate a lot of stress. And also we're going to be, if we get enough time, we may talk about some male hormone issues and conditions there. We'll see. And we do have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, Big Salute and Semperfi to our righteous men and women in uniform. As you know, we pray, seeking the Lord's faith every day, asking for righteous leadership for America. I pray, Paul had said it, really well, blessed be the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. I think that's just so beautiful. So we've got to seek the Lord and ask for his help, because America needs help. And, if we believe and if we you know, do what we're supposed to be doing, I believe we can see some godly, heavenly assistance. And mind the time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, what do we got in the quacker tonight? Scientists from the University of Texas analyzed data from about 370,000 people who they had been tracking in 12 different studies over the course of about 15 years. And what did they discover? Well, if you do a half hour of exercise each day, they say it's not quite enough for you to reduce your risk of coronary heart disease. Apparently, if you do 2.5 hours of exercise a week, you only lower your risk of having a heart attack or some sort of coronary heart malfunction by about 10%. If you double it, if you get 5 hours of exercise a week, you reduce your risk by 19%. 10 hours a week, you drop that heart failure risk by 35%. So the heart muscle, they say, is a muscle that needs to be worked. It needs to exercise in order to be efficient. So if you're only doing a half hour exercise each day, you're not going to reduce your risk of heart failure. You have to do at least 5 hours per week. So an hour each workday. That's what they're recommending. All right, moving along in the quack report. Let's see, this is, we're getting into the, you know, computers and things like that, algorithms. Pedro Domingos, he's a computer science professor at University of Washington. He has this book out. He was reviewing algorithms, and the book is called The Master Algorithm, How the Quest for Ultimate Learning Machines Will Remake Our World. So, you know, he pretty much says computers keep getting smarter and smaller and faster, and the computers are beginning to learn on their own. A lot of research for artificial intelligence went into that. And so now the machines learn from data. It figures things out on its own. But the machine learns, well, we already have machines that diagnose, you know, before doctors come up with their diagnosis. We also see machines winning on Jeopardy and helping hedge fund investors get richer. Also, driverless cars. So the machine learning thing appears to be poised for enormous implications, not only in the workplace, in our economy, but in politics and even human culture overall. So, yes, machines learning the way they do probably will eliminate jobs. But they say it may also create new ones. We'll see. The biggest danger, they say, is machines can cause some damage to us while they serve because they take our wishes literally and they don't have common sense. So they say algorithms already make a lot of important decisions every day, from who gets a credit card, who gets interviewed for a job, who gets flagged by law enforcement. So thinking computers and algorithms are not going anywhere. And last but not least, talking about algorithms and stuff, here's a report from New York. Robot sales team at Best Buy. Apparently, if you go to Best Buy in New York, one of the stores in New York, you will not be greeted with a human being, but you will have a robot named Cleo assist you, especially if you're going to buy music, movies, games, or accessories. Apparently, now Best Buy has removed human carbon employees from those areas of the store, and now we have an ATM type of kiosk. It's all in glass-cased compartments, and then there's this yellow robot, Cleo, over there. And so what you could do is, if you want to buy a movie or music, you could go through the selections they have in the kiosk through a touch screen, and then buy it by swiping your credit card, and then the robot goes and gets it, puts it in the bin next to the kiosk, and you can make a purchase all without seeing one human being, no human contact. Well, they say inefficiency ultimately costs people their jobs. So Best Buy says human workers that they do still retain in the stores can focus helping customers who have other needs that are more complex, and they need different products and services. So robots in Best Buy. I don't know how I deal with that. You know, I kind of like to see a human face and somebody maybe tell me a joke they learned today. I don't know. Get a joke from Cleo probably wouldn't go over very well. Mm-mm. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
I know. What's next? Robots at the post office? Well, there we have that little kiosk thing where you can kind of do your mail, weigh your thing, get your stamps. But then, you know, that thing doesn't always work. All right, let's talk about math and drugs for a little bit, you know, because as drug use all over the world continues to climb, you know, I kind of wondered what percentage of prescribed medication actually was proven to work. Now, aside from the drug study hype, there, you know, has got to be some empirical history by now that proves drugs cure people. Well, you may be surprised what the math works out to be with regards to our drug culture. Now, patients are accustomed to popping pills for every symptom under the sun. It can be, you know, much easier to drug the symptom than to deal with the cause of the symptom. So the increase in the number of Americans taking drugs has jumped from 39% to over 48% between 2007 and 2010. So we're going to take a look and see what the percentage of success brought about by prescription medication therapy is. First, we got to cover some stats. According to the CDC, in the U.S., 48.7% of Americans take at least one prescription drug. So the stats drop to 21.8% when Americans are taking three drugs, and then to 10.7% when they're on five or more medications. And the three classifications in which drug companies sell the most drugs are the painkillers, you know, the analgesics, the cholesterol-lowering drugs like the statin drugs, and the antidepressants. Those are the three big money makers for big pharma. Okay, so it's kind of interesting that these three drug categories are at the top of the pill popping heap. And it, you know, is it by accident or is it by design? Painkillers will make patients addicted to the drug in a skinny minute if the patients are not careful. Also, cholesterol drugs on a cellular level make your cells fall apart. And this leads patients to a myriad of illnesses. And then the antidepressants can alter behavior, putting patients and others at severe risk. So, are these three categories of drugs working to cure people, or are they doing what they're designed to do and create patients for life? What a majority of people are figuring out is that there's this double-edged sword with many allopathic treatments. Let me tell you what the Julia Holmes, Analytics Study, CDC National Center for Health Statistics, she says this. Isn't that the case with all forms of medical technology? There is always the potential for inappropriate use, end of quote. Wow. Well, let's talk about government reports here, too. The U.S. government has documentation on file that shows that prescription drug therapy is really not a cure. Now, in 2010, 5.1 million Americans were prescribed pain medicine, which is enough to medicate every adult in the United States for 1 month. Now, according to reports by WebMD.com, medical professionals are overwhelmed with unintended consequences that these medications are causing, such as bacterial resistance, drug addictions, and adverse events in interactions. So the CDC reports the runner-up category for the top-selling drugs are for conditions such as heart disease, hypertension, and kidney disease. It is also reported that narcotic medications used by patients have tripled the death rate of such patients. So the CDC reports that the spending on the drug therapy has gone down from 14.7% to 2.9%, mainly due to the lower cost of more generic drugs on the market. So these drugs are made overseas in countries like China. So be careful. Let me read you this quote by Ann Byrne. She's the VP for American Pharmacists Association. She says this: if 1 in 10 Americans is taking 5 or more drugs, this raises concerns about potential drug interactions. End of quote. Well, raises concerns. Well, let's look at a study that says 8% success rate for your drugs out there.
Wow.
Research from Oregon State University looked at several large clinical trials paid for by the U.S. National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. The public was kind of clamoring for more transparency regarding scientific ethics, and more probes are going to be done into the clinical data. They're going to be carried out. So the research team looked at 55 studies. This involved, you know, heart disease issues, so heart drugs. So 55 studies in which 30 were published before more regulatory safeguards were put into place, and then 25 were published afterward. So looking at the 25 studies that were published after the stiffer regulations were active, the team discovered that only 2 had any positive outcomes. In the group of the 30 studies that were published before the stiffer regulations, 17 trials were reported as having positive outcomes. So the stiffer regulations are in place to try to prevent the altering of data, making the study outcome look to be more positive. So in this instance, the research team analyzed studies involving treatments for heart disease, and the team suggested that they would probably find similar outcomes when they're looking at trials for the treatments of diabetes and cancer and pretty much you name it. So the conclusion that the research team made is that there is a mere 8% of medical treatments being reviewed that offer any positive effects. Wow. Well, as we've pointed out before, the medical pharmacology textbooks say, quote, relatively few doctors ever report adverse drug reactions to the FDA. The reasons range from not knowing such a reporting system exists to fear of being sued, end of quote. Well, what's going on across the pond in England? How are they faring? They got that socialized healthcare system there. According to a report in the UK Telegraph, the National Health Service there, their officials are being bribed by drug companies to use their drugs in their socialized healthcare program. So a report that the health officials are being wined and dined, as well as being offered significant sums of money to change their healthcare policies and mandate the drug therapy. So in the UK, it has been their policy that any therapeutic treatment needs to be based on solid research and evidence that it works and is affordable. Apparently, the drug companies don't have that clinical research to support their drugs work and are worth the cost. So the drug companies have been known to sweeten the bribery pot by offering any health official who is in charge of health policy to have a seat on their advisory panel. Mm. And then there's the tampered reports. According to the JAMA Journal, the Journal for the American Medical Association, they say adverse events and deaths caused by drug therapy are said to be 40,000 drug deaths a year and 120,000 adverse events every year or annually. But these numbers are bogus, as reported by other sources, including the FDA's Director of Drug Assessment. Let me read you that quote. Jerry Phillips, Associated Director of the FDA's Office of Posting Marketing Drug Risk Assessments, he says, in the broader area of adverse drug reaction data, 250,000 reports received annually probably represents only 5% of the actual reactions that occur. So only 5% are being reported is what we're being told. So, because, according to Dr. Jay Cohen, because only 5% of adverse drug reactions are reported, there is, in fact, 5 million medication reactions each year. Big difference. Big difference. Now, researchers at the University of Minnesota, they state they uncovered evidence
that the drug companies delay reports of adverse events caused by their drugs on purpose. No. Really? Well, they have installed, they say, mechanisms to cause the delay or to conceal the adverse events. So we should also take note that adverse drug reactions that were not expected because the reaction is not on the list that the drug manufacturers put on there, so therefore that reaction is considered unexpected. It's an unexpected reaction, and therefore they're not reported at all. So drug companies get around the current laws by spending more time verifying these reports of the adverse events, and in particular on patient deaths, which delays the reports. So what's wrong with this picture? Current federal law says any adverse drug reports, including death, go to the drug manufacturer instead of the FDA? Hello? Well, doctors are less able to make safe patient care choices if vital information is delayed or hidden, especially when newly approved treatments, which have limited clinical testing. So, you know, in the law it states justice delayed is justice denied. So I guess, you know, drug reactions delayed or hidden is, you know, healthcare denied, right? Okay, let me read you this quote by Dr. Pinar Mandic. She was in charge of the study at the University of Minnesota School of Public Health in Minneapolis. She says, "Our analysis provided evidence that drug manufacturers delay reporting of serious adverse events to the FDA, and strikingly, adverse events with patient death were more likely to be delayed." End of quote. She said that was very concerning to her. Oh, yeah. It's concerning to every one of you listening to this. Right? Stamp your foot and get mad. Right? All right. Let's do the math. It would appear that 8% of the prescription drug therapy is shown to be clinically effective. Now, this research shows positive outcomes with regard to controlling or diminishing the symptoms. However, the empirical history of drug use shows a different outcome. So there is this trade-off of the side effects, which, you know, medicine doesn't really consider to be a negative outcome. Now, I suspect that if researchers were to consider the side effects, the underreported rate of adverse events, or if the drug is, if it's discontinued, the symptoms of disease return, I think most drugs would produce a negative outcome, and then the effective rate would plummet way past 8%. Bam. So drugs which control symptoms really make patients hostages to their disease. That is not a cure. Right? But it doesn't require too much work for the patient until later. We'll get to that. You know, you gotta decide. Do you want to manage or do you want to overcome? You know, because the question every patient needs to ask is, will the therapy help my body overcome my disease or simply manage the symptoms of my disease? It's that simple. Cure versus disease management. So disease management is programmed into our healthcare system, and health is our individual responsibility. So once you pass that off to a medical doctor, then you're going to run the risk of becoming toxic and weak on prescription medications. Now, I have often observed that anyone who is treated for, let's say, heart disease with drugs has about 10 years before they get the news that they have congestive heart failure or some other prognosis that isn't good. So the heart drugs weaken the cardio system to the extent that it collapses under the strain. So I always look at therapies that strengthen instead of weaken the system. So if an organ is weak, the last thing you want to do is put it on a drug that forces it to function. Instead, you want to support that organ and take the burden off of it as much as possible. So there are natural therapies and herbs that really can help with that. So if you're looking for cardiovascular strengthening herbs, well, call Apothecary Herbs for their heart herbs. They have heart formulas. If you are looking to remove toxins, well, then call Apothecary Herbs for their organ cleanses. If you're looking to avoid as many viruses and bacterial infections as possible, well, then call Apothecary Herbs for their immune-boosting formulas. So you'll be surprised at how powerful you can be with the right tools and instructions for use. So give Apothecary Herbs a call, and you can order or ask for a free product catalog. Here's their number, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., 704-885-0277. We've been hearing a lot from Canadians lately. So 704-885-0277 is the international number. Or you can visit the website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. You can get there typing in herbtalklive.com as well. And that's where your healthcare options just became endless. So when you're there, you'll peruse the site. You'll notice we have some herb coupons that you could use to save on your order. Or when you check out, you can register and you automatically get qualified for reward points with each purchase, which you can redeem for savings at the end of your checkout. So there's lots of ways to save on your herbal products and get healthy. There you go, thepowerherbs.com. Oh, and don't forget, today's Tuesday. So Tuesdays is when their free American Survival newsletter goes out. So if you want to get that in your email each Tuesday, go ahead and sign up for that on the website. Just go to Books and Newsletters and sign up there. If you're interested in the HealthQuest newsletter, that goes out on Friday. So you have all weekend to digest that. And that's free as well, so you can sign up for the Healthy Natural Therapies HealthQuest newsletter as well on the website, thepowerherbs.com. But you have to have email, so it's not a printed newsletter. You know, I think, do people still print newsletters and send them out? I guess a few still do, but very expensive. So ours is email-based, so everybody can sign up. So the power, and it's no subscription. You know, if you're going to print it, mail it is a subscription then. All right. We're going to talk about stress. I know a lot of you feel stressed out there. Some days I do too, you know. And thank God for herbs. They really can lighten that stress load without sedating you, without making you an addict, you know, without interfering with other functions or even with other, if you're on some over-the-counter stuff, you know. I don't advocate doing that, but, you know. Some people do. They mix it up a lot. The only thing that I like to mix is my herbal formulas because they are designed to be used in combos together. So that's okay. That's okay. Also, if you're on the website, do check out the healthy guidelines section. A lot of people don't. How do I cleanse? I've never thought about it. I'd like to try it. Where do I start? Well, you can always call. We're happy to talk to you. That's what we love to do. But also on the website is the healthy guidelines section. You just click there, and there's different little sections. There's cleansing, there's immune boosting, there's how do I store my herbs, blah, blah, blah. So you can pick which topic you want to look at, and it's really quick and brief to give you, you know, the what up and not be too wordy. And you can get the lowdown that way as well. Or just get the product catalog because they got a table of contents and all the products lined up. And you can just flip to it wherever you need to go. Oh, I hear music. We're going to take a break. Stress relief on the other side. Be right back.
We get it almost every night. And when that moon gets so big and bright, it's a supernatural delight. Every border was dancing in.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. complete instructions for maximum benefit, and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Somewhere up in New York way, where the people are so gay, twisting the night away. Here they have a lot of fun, putting trouble on the run. Man, you find the old and young, twisting the night away.
Yeah! Hey, we're back here on our phone. We're getting retro. Wow, that's old. Sam Cooke, I love it. All right, we're going to talk about stress, how we can, you know, alleviate some stress out of our lives. Apparently, you know, stress can be mind numbing, really, you know, just really put you down. But we're going to avoid a lot of those symptoms and get you out of there. Now there are some things that you could avoid to reduce your stress and, but let's look at some signs that you may be under stress and may not aware of the extent of the damage the stress is doing. Because if you have continuous stress to the body, it can cause a lot of toxicity in the system, and then they show up in different areas of your body. So we're going to look at that. For instance, parts of the body that
will eliminate a lot of toxins that stress can create will come out through some roots such as your hair or your fingernails, toenails. Your sweat could change in the way, in odor and consistency, even your tears, obviously. So, because a lot of it's a chemical reaction that stress causes in the body, and then things get altered and can show you that things are different, and you go, uh-oh. Now, a lot of times you'll hear about stress creating xenobiotics or chemicals that can be organic. Sometimes they can be non-organic as well, but in this instance, they would be from you inside the body. These definitely show up in your hair. So if, let's say you absorb some not-so-cool chemicals at work, definitely going to show up in your hair. So that's why they do a lot of toxicology testing with hair samples, just to see. And forensic medicine actually will use a hair analysis to determine toxic exposures or even poisonings. So this is how, you know, modern science answers the question, how did Napoleon Bonaparte die? Well, 140 years ago, well, 140 years since his death, basically. So they get a lock of his hair, see? And it said that Napoleon died from arsenic poisoning. So whoever killed Napoleon, they poisoned him through many weeks. It was a very gradual thing until he died. He had 13 times the normal limit of arsenic that the body can be exposed to. So apparently, Napoleon's killers introduced the poison in his daily serving of wine. So Napoleon had a private wine stock, and after his death, those who inherited his wine also showed signs of arsenic poisoning. And many forensic investigators prefer hair over blood sometimes because the blood that reveals recent exposures and chemicals, but they can degenerate quickly in a matter of hours. That can compromise the evidence, but hair can store 200 times the trace elements compared to your blood. So your hair sample will reveal toxic concentrations without being tainted by waste products, and can give a more accurate timeline of your nutritional versus your toxins. So your hair grows about 1/2 inch per month, and one strand of 5 inches of hair will give you about a 10-month chemical history on the person. Now, some of the most lethal toxins your hair can reveal are mercury, cadmium, lead, and arsenic. So hair analysis will offer a more accurate level of what your body is overloaded with compared to blood or urine analysis. So if your doctor wants to know what drugs you've been taking, all he has to do is a hair analysis, because prescription drugs are excreted into your hair, and your hair will reveal even the smallest trace of cocaine, marijuana, heroin, or LSD. And that's why movie stars, or celebrities, let's say, if they are mandated to do a drug test by the court, they'll shave their heads. You know who we're talking about. All right, now your nails can also show. Most substances, toxic or non-toxic, which you ingest, absorb, or breathe in, will also get deposited in your nails. So your nails are essentially hardened epidermal skin layers or cells. And the skin that becomes the nail is due to the keratin and the sulfur. It's a protein that's found in your hair as well. So scientists can test a shard of your nail, and it's like having a piece of your skin. So the DNA is all there, including your nutrition, including your toxins, what you ate last night for dinner, that kind of thing. All right, now, let's talk about your sweat that can change also. Sometimes the sweating response of the body can be chemically altered. We sweat in order to cool down. Cool down is the body's way of getting rid of toxins as well. And most scientists know that sweat has many of the chemical markers of urine. It has water, it has lactic acid, and it has uric acid. So this explains why the skin is referred to as a second kidney. Now, some people experience rashes when they sweat, and this is from the toxins, the xenobiotic chemical toxins that are coming out. So during a detox program, when people sweat, it's not uncommon for some people to report that they smell or taste chemicals that are coming out of them. And those are all the toxins they were exposed to previously. So when you sweat, you can eliminate about 30% of the waste materials in the body. And when you exercise and sweat, the heat releases the chemicals and the metals that can be stored in your fat cells. Therefore, you can excrete heavy metals through your sweat. Well, you got to make sure your sweat glands are okay and they're healthy. If you're using a lot of antiperspirants, you're going to clog those up a bit. So you can excrete those heavy metals through sweat. It is extremely important when you exercise to make sure your glands of the body are healthy enough to be able to eliminate, have that channel of elimination open to it, and it's not clogged or blocked. So when you exercise, you're going to release toxins. You're going to lessen the stress on your body as well. Look at that. All right. Now, if there's nursing mothers out there, I should mention nursing moms. Sometimes if you're under a lot of stress, your breast milk can also be altered. Now, it dispenses nutrition to the baby, but it can also include a lot of chemical toxins. And this is also true in the animal kingdom as well for animals that are lactating. So for the exit for the toxins, if they're going out through the breast milk, it's similar to the sweat glands and to your tear ducts. Human breast milk contains about 3 to 5% fat, and toxins can be stored in the fat cells, see. Now, cow's milk also contains chemical toxins like pesticides and fertilizers and other chemical treatments from foods and medications or vaccines. Mother's breast milk is still preferred over any other form of milk due to its superior balance of fat, amino acids, vitamins, minerals, and immune antibodies to help the baby fight off infection. So this nutrition is essential for the brain and nervous system development of a baby. And research has found that mother's milk decreases the likelihood of the baby developing autoimmune diseases, SIDS, or sudden infant death syndrome, ear infections, immune system disorders, and respiratory disease like asthma. Now, other research suggests that breastfed babies have health benefits that extend into their adult lives. They have a less chance of developing digestive disorders or diabetes or lymphoma and food allergies. So if you're planning a family and you want to breastfeed, you can decrease the amount of toxins that will be transferred to baby by doing your organ cleansing prior to pregnancy. And you should never use products to cleanse the system while you're pregnant or nursing. You want to wait until you're all done with that. All right, let's talk about your tears. We've mentioned the other day that tears, you know, they've analyzed the chemical consistency of tears, and depending on your emotional mood, that'll dictate the chemicals that go into your tears. But when you're under stress, you may need to release emotions through crying. So our tears not only moisten the eye, they also rinse away irritating particles and protect our eyes from infection. So your tears are created in the lacrimal gland just above your eye, tucked inside the orbital bone. And a series of ducts carry the tears, and when they are overwhelmed with the volume of fluid, tears pour down your cheeks. So according to medical research, our emotions create chemical toxins from the stress, and these toxins are removed through tears or through when you cry. So actually, crying is our safety valve. It helps release us from a lot of stress when we can't tolerate the pressure any longer. So when you cry, your body releases manganese through the tears at a rate of 30 times greater than through blood serum itself. And Dr. William Fry, he's an eye doctor, Dry Eye and Tear Research Center in Minneapolis, Illinois, is where he works. He discovered that just as a baby has many different cries signaling what's wrong, our body has different chemical makeup of our tears depending on our reason for crying. So if we shed tears from emotional stress, they're going to have different chemical markers in it, from the tears that we produce due to some irritant if we're cutting onions, for instance. So emotional tears will have 24 times more protein over the kind of tears you get that are irritating when you're cutting onions. Now, prolactin is a hormone in tear production. It also regulates milk production for lactating moms. And this may explain why women may cry more easily than men do, and they have 60% more prolactin than men, especially after puberty when these differences emerge. So, and that's why, you know, baby blues after the baby's born, a lot of hormones and prolactin happening there, and men just, you know, don't have that problem. All right. So how do you help your body reduce a lot of stress? Well, here are some herbs that you might want to, you know, tap into that will help you deal with and cope with this crazy world we live in more efficiently. Mullein herb is great to soothe your glands. If your glands are going to be sweating out toxins, and also if you're going to be crying to release toxins, you definitely want those glands around the eye duct as well. As well as your thyroid, and if you're a guy, a prostate gland. So mullein is really good to soothe all the glands, and it makes toxin release for those glands easier. It's an easier process. So now horsetail herb and lobelia, they have more calcium, natural calcium in there to support your hair and your nail health. So if we lose manganese in toxin removal, we can replenish many of the minerals that we lose with herbs and like Celtic sea salt, which has 84 micromineral nutrients in it. So if you're looking for mullein for your glands, you want to look for the mullein tincture at the powerherbs.com website. They do have the calcium formula with the horsetail in it. They have the Celtic sea salt. And don't forget to check out their valerian root under their anxiety stress section. They have some formulas there that if you're under emotional stress, for instance, there's some herbs there that can really take that burden off your body and make you calm down, take the tension out without sedation and without depleting you. A lot of people use antidepressants. And the problem with the antidepressants is they do strip your body of nutrition, which your body needs to help you cope with stress, and the herbs don't do that. So that's a plus. So if you're looking for a valerian root, it's at the powerherbs.com website. It's in their product catalog. They have several headache formulas, too. If you're under stress and you get headaches and you don't want to use the over-counter pain relievers because it's bad for your kidneys, then you have some herbal options. So check it out, thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call and ask for a free product catalog. That number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. And I want to say thank you to several people lately who have called, sent emails, and just saying very nice, kind things about the show, about the newsletters, and about the product. So appreciate the feedback. We strive to please and help people empower themselves, you know, to feel empowered. And there's no time in history that you want to feel empowered. It's now, for real. All right, so we're going to talk about, we got a few minutes, we're going to talk about, It's the segment for the guys. We're going to talk about male hormone conditions real quickly. Because the males can get a hormone imbalance too. It's not just us women going through menopause you have to worry about. But men can have an imbalance in their hormone. And a lot of times the diet's the problem. Sometimes it's stress the problem. But as men as young as 40 years old are experiencing hormone imbalance. More men and younger men are experiencing prostate illness. So we have 50% of the male population that's over the age of 50 that have prostate disease. That's way high. So the male hormones interact with each other and are the basis for a lot of healthy or unhealthy hormone managing systems, organ function in the body. Now, in the male body, there is a relationship between the testes, the testosterone, the brain, and the pituitary gland. And the male endocrine system is designed to create hormones for the right in the right amount for that particular male at his particular time of life. So usually around the age of 55, medicine tells us the endocrine system can decrease the amount of hormones it's making. So the testes deal with making a lot of testosterone. The pituitary with the human growth hormone and the adrenal glands handle antitestosterone, a steroid hormone. So by the age of 80, most male hormone levels decrease, they say, to pre-puberty levels. So androphase is a male version of menopause, basically, where there is a hormone imbalance, a lack of testosterone, and health experts have identified male hormone imbalance as pretty much the silent epidemic. People just don't want to talk about it, you know? So we're going to look at it. Here's some of the symptoms. In men out there, if they have a male hormone imbalance, it can be just as devastating as a female going through menopause. Men can experience bone loss because of the testosterone and estrogen hormone are off. This helps keep bone growth strong and balanced. Erectile dysfunction can occur, and there is an interference with testosterone, or there's low levels of testosterone for muscle contraction and for the brain receptors. Memory loss can occur due to the testosterone and brain receptors, of course, not getting adequate hormones. And mood swings can affect men as well when they are in this imbalance of hormones. They can even get aggressive. They can be apathetic, depressed, irritable, and inability to cope with stress because the hormones are out of whack. Now, sometimes, men can also experience breast enlargement as a result, and they can put on a few extra pounds around the abdomen. Now, fat enzymes tend to convert testosterone to estrogen and enlarge the breast area. This is what's happening. So men worry about their weight gain as well as us women, hope you know. So high levels of cortisol, adrenal cortex, and the stress hormone, as we've been educated about, create havoc on the blood sugar levels and promote sugar cravings, and they're gaining weight. So prostate enlargement is also part of this problem with the hormonal imbalance, and there's also an increased risk of stroke and osteoporosis. So, you know, it's not just the, you know, menopause section that's got problems. So here's the risks. If you got high cortisol, the adrenal cortex hormone, if those levels are high, they're going to interfere with testosterone's ability to build bone and could cause you to have weak, brittle bones. So our exposure to things like petrochemicals can cause higher levels of estrogen in our bodies, which adversely affects the endocrine system. So artificial estrogen will enter the body through the diet or environment, or if you're taking drug therapy. If you have, for instance, if you have grains like wheat, rice, lentils, and dairy products, milk and eggs, and meats, they deliver these types of hormones to the body. So petrochemical products that can introduce synthetic estrogen are going to be prescription drugs, herbicides, pesticides, fungicides, and other environmental pollutants. And this includes also household pet sprays for mosquito and cockroaches. So get that rid of that. You know, just don't expose yourself to that. So foods also can influence hormones. Foods have nutrition, can help the male body manufacture, increase the hormone levels. These foods are going to be things like coconut oil. It helps to regulate the fat to prevent the interference in hormone production. Broccoli contains indole, which is a phytochemical which helps the estrogen and testosterone to be balanced. Garlic helps regulate cortisol, testosterone, and meat like beef or lamb contains that high zinc to help the body make hormones to help the prostate out. Soy, of course, soy-rich foods contain diacinogen, so this converts to a natural testosterone in the body, but be careful. So much of the soy is genetically modified, so you need to be choosy out there. Now, our bodies can synthesize from natural testosterone and other natural steroids that it needs to balance the endocrine system. Sometimes it can get enough of this from food sources, so try that. This is also when you get natural sources, it improves the communication between the endocrine organs, and men can feel more in control. They feel more stable, settled. They have sometimes they describe it as a feeling of renewed vitality. Now, high fiber diets also decrease the amount of circulating estrogens in the body, so keep that in mind. So you're going to also balance estrogen better when you eat a lot of vegetables like kale, collard greens, mustard greens, cabbage, and turnips. So men seem to do well eating those types of foods when they're getting enough of that natural plant source into their body because it's got the calcium to help the bones. You might also want to include sesame seeds and almonds into the diet for that balance as well. Other foods that are recommended are foods that have natural iodine, like your seaweed, Celtic sea salt, but your highest concentration will be in black walnut. Also, beetroot and wheatgrass are going to be very, very helpful for men trying to balance their endocrine system. So your plan of attack is nutritional, not chemical, okay? Try to eat organic foods so you don't have those pesticides and other chemicals. Try to stay away from drinking water out of plastic bottles, okay? Estrogens and things. So there are ways to balance the endocrine system, and if you just need a little bit more help, the diet's great, but you just need a little more help, that little grain of rice that'll tip the scale, well, then you want to tap into the male hormone herbs, and they help the body manufacture the hormones in the right balance for you. So check it out. You could get Siberian ginseng, sarsaparilla, salt palmetto, American ginseng, comfrey, the whole cardamom. If you're looking for that combo, check out the male hormone formula. The folks at Apothecary Herbs make it. Check that out, thepowerherbs.com. Give them a call, 866-229-3663. Everybody loves that stuff. I have to keep it under lock and key. Goodness. Thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Your healthcare options just became endless. And you're more powerful than you thought, right? Absolutely, absolutely. Don't forget, if you're on the website, check out the green button in the top left-hand corner. It says Herb Coupons, so you can save, or you can sign up when you check out and register, and then you get redemption points to save on your products that you buy. That's also good. Sign up for the newsletters. You'll get heads up on specials. You'll also get empowering health information each and every week. So the American Survival newsletter is for Tuesday, and the Health Quest newsletter is for Friday, and they're both free. Sign up, email delivery only, and be empowered. That's what it's about. I see I'm out of time, but I will be back. You know I am going to be back. And possibly, I don't know, we may be able to cover things like emphysema next time, you know, if you got somebody that you know with emphysema, COPD, that kind of stuff. And we'll see what else we can come up with. We always got good stuff, I think. You seem to say you like it. Well, we'll be back on Thursday. That's right. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.